The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says six of its employees have been killed in an Israeli airstrike on one of the schools it runs in central Gaza. It's the highest death toll among their staff in a single incident since the start of the war between Israel and Hamas in October. Scott Lucas is professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin, and he joins us now. Scott, to some extent, we are getting weary singing the same song. The Israeli Defense Force is saying there were Hamas terrorists embedded in what was an otherwise civilian occupied territory. And Hamas, and in this instance, the UN saying, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, but not by much, that this is a travesty.
You know, Anton, I don't know what to say as an analyst anymore as we head towards, you know, the one-year anniversary, first of Hamas's mass killing, and then the Israeli mass killings that have killed more than 41,000 people, because you've summarized it well. You know, not just every few days, almost on an everyday basis, there's another mass killing which takes place. It just so happens that this one gets a little bit more profile because there are UN workers amongst the Gazan civilians who are killed. You know, most of Gaza's schools operating shelters have been bombed. Most of Gaza's hospitals have been bombed. In fact, the majority of them have been put out of service. Most of the public spaces in Gaza, even spaces declared as humanitarian zones where people should be protected, have been bombed. And the reality is that, as you put it, we know the Israeli military will come back and they will justify this by saying, you know, that there were Hamas targets. There were Hamas targets there, you know, and, you know, some number that they'll pick out of the air of commanders and fighters were killed. But I've got to be honest with your listeners. We're almost at a point where, to paraphrase an awful phrase that was around in U.S. operations from Vietnam onwards, you kill them all and let God sort them out. And that may not be a very analytic thing to say, but the reality here is that we are in what the opposition leader, Yair Lapid in Israel, calls Benjamin Netanyahu's forever war. And forever means that you and I, next week, the week after that, next month, could still be talking about the latest taking of life, including now a toll of more than 220 UN workers who have been slain.
It's worth probably expanding on some of those numbers, Scott. You say 220 UN workers who have been killed in those strikes, another 563 refugees who had been sheltering in those areas with the staff members also killed. The UN Agency for Refugees saying 70% of its schools that it operates in Gaza have been hit. That's 7 out of 10 of the schools that it operates have been hit. And in this instance, they say that the area that was subject to this airstrike was home to around 12,000 refugees and displaced people. And the UN says that that was mainly women and children. And they say schools and other civilian infrastructure must be protected at all times, and they are not a target. The thing is, though, it is hard to imagine their words possibly falling on any deafer ears. The Israeli administration has no, it wouldn't seem, any either capacity or desire to listen to what the UN says.
I want to take that a bit further, because it's not the case that there's a uniform agreement amongst the Israeli leadership that they should go forward this way. In private, the Israeli military, including the Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, have criticized the idea, Benjamin Netanyahu's idea, that you can destroy Hamas. The problem is that when that statement by Gallant got out in the Israeli press, Netanyahu's office immediately publicly beat him down and said he was pushing an anti-Israel narrative. Benny Gantz, former commander of the Israeli Armed Forces, has talked about Netanyahu's personal war that has no positive outcome in sight. The problem is that Benny Gantz was effectively pushed out of the war cabinet, left the war cabinet in the spring, because he couldn't stop Netanyahu. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis have been on the streets in each of the past two weekends, and I think this will continue, saying the priority has to get those about 100 hostages, dead or alive, who are still in Hamas's hands in Gaza. That's the priority, rather than pursuing these military operations. But Benjamin Netanyahu, the day that he stops this conflict, the day he agrees to a ceasefire, if Hamas is not, quote, destroyed, which really means the killing of all of its senior leaders, if that doesn't happen, his political career is probably over because of early elections.
Scott, is there any way for this campaign to be prosecuted without the kind of loss of life that we, because we have seen, I mean, the American campaign against Al-Qaeda to an extent did show that it was possible to have a significant impact on embedded terrorist figures that are spread across a wide geographic area that are quite difficult to find and all of that kind of. So is there any way Israel could be doing this without the egregious and unforgivable loss of civilian life?
Well, I mean, let's say that it is extremely difficult to target Hamas leaders in one of the most densely populated areas in the world, indeed possibly the most densely populated area in the world. And you can't expect Hamas leaders to pop up and say, oh, here we are, civilians over there. You know, you have a clear shot at us. That's not going to be the way they operate. So the Israeli line that Hamas is embedded within the civilian population has got some merit to it. But the reality is as well that, and this was revealed by Israeli outlets, independent Israeli outlets, last autumn, near the start of the mass killings, that the Israelis are using artificial intelligence to generate these lists, these massive lists of targets, that they then have basically a lot greater, you know, sweep of areas they could bomb, but they're not taking the time to then identify, to go beyond the artificial intelligence and say, all right, where are the areas where we possibly do have high value targets, where we have a more limited risk of civilian deaths? And that's not the way a military operates, Anton. A military operates with the idea that you win this conflict. And if you win this conflict and you go after the bad guys and civilians get killed, that's part of the way you wage this. So no, the only way to limit these civilian casualties is to get some kind of agreement to pull back the military operations.
And of course, the Israelis would say otherwise, and have in this instance Israeli spokespeople saying, quotes, numerous steps were taken to mitigate the risk of harming civilians, including the use of precise munitions, aerial surveillance, and additional intelligence.
And if I had a euro for every time that the Israelis say it, I'd be a very rich man off in the Caribbean. Again, I'm going to be very honest with your listeners because the facts need to come out here. The Israelis have used in this conflict bombs of up to 2,000 pounds. They've used a lot of 500-pound bombs. Those aren't precise weapons when they're dropped. They will kill civilians even if you take out Hamas guys. You have areas which simply have been leveled without precision. If you talked to me a couple days ago, I could have talked to you about the Israeli strike on Al-Mawazi, in which more than 40 people died. Al-Mawazi was supposed to be a humanitarian zone. What type of precise weapon goes into a zone where people are supposed to be protected and leave scores of them dead? So no, and I'm happy to talk to an Israeli spokesman here on this program or any other program to say that to them. I'm not going to shy away from it. You may have merit in going after Hamas. In fact, you do have merit in going after Hamas, given the mass killings of last October. But you lose that merit. You lose that justification when the vast majority of people who you kill are women and children who are not Hamas fighters, and when the effect of what you're doing will not be to destroy Hamas, it will be to push the civilians even closer to Hamas as their only protector and will radicalize some of those civilians who say we might as well fight with Hamas because we have got no alternative.
Well, on that note, Scott, that was one of the things that I wanted your analysis of, because we've seen a lot of opposition, international opposition, some now domestic opposition within Israel, to what is happening on a humanitarian footing. But setting that aside, and I know it is a difficult thing to set aside, but setting that aside, is there any view forming now that says that strategically this is going to be Pyrrhic, that whatever end game occurs, we are surely heading towards the point where a weakened Hamas is not going to be the long-term outcome?
Benjamin Netanyahu's tactic, I suspect, is that if he takes out one more big Hamas leader, like Yahya Sinwar, who's the overall leader, then maybe they get victory. And we have to mention that Israel has taken out at least three of the highest-ranking commanders in Hamas in recent months, including one of them, with an airstrike, with an attack in Tehran at the end of July. But those leaders are replaced. Even if you got Yahya Sinwar, there would be someone else who comes up to fill it. And it's not Yahya Sinwar you're talking about. You're talking about hundreds, thousands of people who may decide to fight with Hamas, who become the ground forces, who become the people who will stand up now against Israel and possibly attack Israel again as an act of retaliation or revenge. And let me just take you through recent history, Anton, very, very quickly. Early 1980s, the Israelis went into Lebanon to crush the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Many, many civilians got killed, including more than 800 in a single incident in refugee camps in southern Lebanon. The Palestinian organizations were not destroyed. In the 1980s, instead, you had the rise of Hezbollah in Lebanon, and you had the rise of bombings that killed U.S. and French forces, as well as killing Lebanese. In the 1990s, the Israelis attacked Hezbollah. They didn't wipe them out. In 2008, they attacked Gaza. It didn't end Hamas. In 2014, they attacked Gaza. It didn't end Hamas. In 2021, they got a short-lived victory over Hamas because they gave Hamas a bloody nose. But you know what happened immediately after that victory? Mohammed Daif, one of the Hamas leaders, began planning what became last October 7th's attacks, in which Hamas, far from destroyed, killed a lot of Israeli civilians, as well as a lot of Israeli military.
Scott, thank you very much for that. That's Scott Lucas, Professor and Political Analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.